And the best decision you can ever make is when you decide to leave the world behind and just to press on and give Jesus your life. Somebody say amen right there. And yesterday I celebrated 12 years that I gave my heart and my life to Jesus. And I sure am thankful on August the 10th, 2005, that Jesus showed up real in my life. And that I knew that what needed to be done. And some of you are here tonight, and you've been in services, and God's already told you what you need to do. The problem is, you just have a hard time obeying Him. And I pray that tonight, tomorrow, or even somewhere in between, you may find a place where you say, Lord, I'm tired of running. God, I'm tired of doing everything in my own power, but I'm just giving my life up, and here it is for you. Some of you know that God's been dealing with you about salvation. Tonight be a good night to get saved. God's been dealing with some of you about what He wants you to do next. And it'd be a good night for you to just make up your mind that you're going to follow God. Yes. Amen. I want you to take your Bible tonight, if you have one. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 1. And I'm not going to be very long tonight. But I do believe that God has put a thought upon my heart. And that I need to share it with you. And I hope that it's a blessing. Let me stop and say this. If the only thing you remember is a song that was sung or the preacher that was preaching, then you've missed it all. But I pray that you wouldn't hear a preacher, you wouldn't see a singer, but you would hear the voice of God down in your heart. And I pray that tonight and through the rest of this weekend that God would do some eternal things here. How many of you have already started school? Let me see your hand. Good. And everybody, how many of you haven't started school? Let me see your hand. We got a few stragglers. All right. Y'all get with it. Y'all running behind. All right. I want to talk to you tonight, and I want to preach to you, and I want to give you something that I hope you can take with you through the next school year. And let me stop and say this. I went to public school, and I know how hard it is to live for Jesus when everybody else around you is cussing Him. And I know what it's like to walk into school and have that spiritual battle going on because I know what God did for me on Sunday, but maybe I was a little ashamed when I got to school on Monday. And I pray that God would embolden you to step into the next school year and say, I'm not going to be ashamed of Jesus, but I'm going to proclaim His word to whoever I see. Daniel chapter number 1, and I want you to look in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, and the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science. And such as had ability in them, to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now I want you to look at verse number 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Or as we know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. Lord, thank you for the singing that we heard. Lord, thank you for that youth choir that got up. God, I'm so thankful that you still work on young people's hearts. God, I'm thankful that there's still a group of young folks, Lord, that will sell out and give their heart and life to you. God, I pray now as we're done with the singing hour, God, I pray as we move into this preaching time that God, you'd help me. God, I pray that you'd anoint me tonight. God, I pray you'd cleanse me of myself. Lord, I pray that you'd empty me of who I am. Lord, you'd fill me with your spirit tonight. Lord, I pray that everything that's done here, You'd get the honor and glory out of it. God, for it, we'll be thankful and we'll be careful to give You all the praise, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we find here in the book of Daniel that there's a lot of things we could talk about. How many of you, by a show of hands, would be honest and say, Brother Brandon, I've heard someone preach out of the book of Daniel before? Well, good. You say, I've heard different sermons preached. I've heard different preachers take this text and I've heard them elaborate on certain things about the life of Daniel. And if the Lord would help me, and if God sees fit for me to preach again, I want to stay in the book of Daniel, and I want to give you something out of Daniel's life that can help you in your life. How many of you have lived long enough to know that the best experience is sometimes what we have to go through personally, or the best advice is somebody who's went through it personally and they're sharing it with us to help us in our life? And so tonight I want to look at Daniel, and I hope that God would help us to look into his life and pull some things out of his life that you and I can apply to our life and maybe learn something from it. I want you to notice this. Tonight I want to talk about the direction that Daniel is going to go in. How many of you be honest with me tonight and say that you know what I'm about to say is true? Every one of us are going in a direction. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just put it plainly. You're either going in the right direction,
yeah,
or you're going in the wrong direction. There's no straddling the fence. You know what happens when you straddle a fence? You get splinters. And we don't want no splinters. Somebody say amen. So we realize that either we are looking in the right direction or we're looking in the wrong direction. And as you go through the next school year, there are going to be certain things that come into your life that's going to either push you in the right direction or it's going to push you in the wrong direction. You're going to make some friends this year that's going to help you go further in the right direction, or you're going to hang out with the wrong crowd and they're going to push you in the wrong direction. And your life is so moldable right now that you're going to have to make decisions today whether you're going to go in the right direction or rather you're going to go in the wrong direction.
Right.
Daniel is faced with some circumstances. And now Daniel has to make the decision, am I going to go in the right direction or am I going to go in the wrong direction? Number one, I want you to notice this about the direction of Daniel. Notice the problem that we see here. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. In the third year, in the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now I want you to notice the problem that we find here. Daniel gets up one morning, just like he does every other morning. Daniel gets up, gets out of his bed. He walks into the kitchen, probably pours him a cup of coffee. He walks outside and everything seems to be normal, just like it was the day before. But as the day begins to progress, Daniel looks down the road and he realizes that things are not like they've always been. As Daniel looks down the road, he can see that there is dust flying up as it gets closer to Jerusalem. He can look and see that there are chariots that are now coming into the city of Jerusalem. Daniel can look and he can see that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, is the head of this stampede that is coming into Jerusalem. Now, what was that? Just an ordinary day for Daniel. His world's about to be changed in 1 second. Can I say to you tonight that it does not take but a blink of the eye for problems to come into your life? It does not take but just one phone call for you to get some bad news, for problems to invade your life, and for you to realize that things aren't necessarily like they've always been. How many of you have been alive long enough to know and to have been through some problems your own self? Now, I know what people say. They say, well, you're too young. How do you know what problems are? Can I say this? You're never too young to face problems. There are some folks and there are some teenagers that are sitting in here tonight that just last year you were living in a house where mom and daddy were together, but now they may have sat you down and said, it don't work anymore. And now mama lives in one house and daddy lives in the other house. And you, as a young age, you've had to face the fact that mom and daddy have now went through a divorce. Maybe you're here tonight and someone that you love and someone that you cared about so much is now slipped on and they're in heaven, and the very things that you were praying for God to heal them, but healing didn't come, and so you had to walk by the graveside of someone that you love. Can I say, you're never too young to face problems. You're never too young to go through something serious, and there are troubling times that are going through some of your minds. And when I mention problems, you automatically pointed yourself into an instance that's happened in your life where you can say, Brother Brandon, I know what it's like to go through some problems. Today marks 1 year that my granny, one of the godliest women that I know, passed on and went to be with the Lord. And last year at this time, Brother Robbie, I remember going to the church house, getting around the altar, having my family's arms around me, and I can remember us praying, Lord, if it be your will, please heal her. But God did not see fit to do what we thought He would do. And you could say it like this, our family had to walk through a problem. Our family had to walk through a trial. Just like Daniel, he realizes that now in his life, he is going to face something that he did not want to go through. Let me ask you this tonight. You ever been through something that you didn't want to go through? You ever walked through a problem? You ever had trouble come to your house? Daniel is going through a problem. But not only was there a problem, I want you to notice this. Notice that with the problem, there was a purpose. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. All right, y'all ready to get honest? We ain't even started preaching yet. Here it comes. This is the preaching. How many of you, just be honest, have ever said, boy, the devil's just been on my back? Y'all ever said that? But you know, the only thing I find troubling about that statement is a lot of time we give the devil more credit than he deserves. You could probably look at this story, Brother Robbie, and say, boy, the devil just must have been on Daniel's back. But the fact of the matter is, the devil's nowhere to be mentioned in this story. But the Bible says in verse number 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim. This was not an act of the devil, but this was an act of God. It was not Satan that caused all this to happen, but it was the Lord that let all these things happen. And you may be walking through something, but can I say that God has a purpose and God has a plan? And the purpose was God was trying to get Daniel to a place that He wanted him. And let me just stop and say this, when troubles come to your house and when troubles come knocking at your door, don't just blame the devil, because it may be God letting you go through some things because He has a purpose for your life. But before He can get you there, He's got to let you face some troubles. There's a purpose. Let me stop and say this tonight. God has a purpose for your life. And if He didn't, He wouldn't have kept you here. But God has a reason for you to live tonight. And let me just stop and say this, and I'll throw this and I'll kick the devil square in the teeth, and you can tell him I said it. Suicide is not an option. Don't you let the devil jump in your mind and tell you that you should end it. Because God lets us know that He has a purpose for your life. He has a reason for you to have went through the things you've gone through. And don't let the devil sell you a pack of lies and tell you to end it. Don't let the devil jump up in your house and tell you you should just give it all up. Because it may be God has allowed you to walk through some troubles. God has allowed you to walk through some problems. God has let your world fall apart. But it's because God has a purpose for your life. And don't give up, because God's just trying to get you to the place that He wants you. Don't you let the devil sell you lies. Daniel could have gave up. Daniel could have quit. Daniel could have got bitter. Daniel could have ended it all. But what Daniel realized was that this was not the work of the devil, but this was the work of God. And God was allowing these things to happen. And Daniel's going to keep marching on until God gets him to where He wants him. You're going to face some things that's going to put you to a breaking point. The devil's going to try to sneak up in your mind and tell you to just quit, just give up, and just be done with it all. But can I say to you, God's got a purpose for your life. God has a purpose, and He's trying to get you, but before God can get you there, He's got to let you go through some things. Not only do we see that there's a problem, not only do we see that there is purpose, but I want you to notice this. Number three, and I'll be done after this. Notice that there was a process. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now Daniel would have never gotten to the place that he's in verse number 9 if he'd have given up back at the beginning of the chapter. But the fact is, God not only had a purpose, but God's got a process. Let me just stop and say this. God's not always going to do things like you think He should. God's not always going to do things like you think He ought to do them. But the fact is God works in a way to where it is a growing process, and God's got to let you get here before He can get you over here. We all know how the story of Daniel ends. I'll go ahead and spill the beans. Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. God delivers him. And boy, everything's just good. But Daniel would have never known that God could have delivered him out of the lion's den if he did not trust the process in which God was trying to do it in. God is letting Daniel walk through some valleys. God is letting Daniel walk through some troubles. God is letting Daniel walk through some trials, because God has a process to Daniel's life. And before Daniel can get to the lion's den and get delivered, before Daniel could ever have one of the greatest victories that he'll ever have, God first had a process to get Daniel to the lion's den. And God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Let me just stop and say this. Trust the process in which God has. Because that's exactly what it is. Amen. I'll tell you this story. 6 months ago, I was singing at a funeral in Jacksonville, Florida. My phone rang while I was in the funeral after I got done singing. I picked it up, and it was my grandparents, my nanny and my papa. And they said, "Brandon, we know that you're about to go home, but we want you to stop by the house first." And I pulled in down in Lake City, Florida. I pulled into the driveway, and both of them were sitting on the front porch. Y'all ever been in a situation where you know something's wrong, but ain't nobody spoke up and told you what's wrong yet? I looked at them and I said, "All right, I can tell something's wrong. And which one of you is going to tell me?" And my nanny looked at me and she said, "We went to the doctor today and found out that your grandpa has stage 4 lung cancer." I remember sitting there thinking, what do I say now? What am I going to quote Romans 8:28? He knows God works all things together for good. Am I going to quote him Psalms 46, that God's a present help in the time of trouble? Am I going to say, well, Papa, you know, God sticks closer than a brother? He knows that. So I done the next best thing. I said, Papa, what do you think about all this? Here's what he said. He said, I'm going to trust that God's will is perfect and that He's got a plan for my life. He walked inside. Me and my nanny were standing outside. Brother Robbie, when he walked in, I heard something coming from inside while we were outside. And I told my nanny, I said, listen, listen. And I leaned my ear into the door, and this is what I heard. Oh Lord my God, when in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. He opened that fridge door, poured him a glass of tea, shut it back. He said, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I remember standing there thinking, how does a man that's just been told he's got stage 4 lung cancer and maybe has 6 months to live, Lord, how can he look at you and say, how great thou art? And I remember getting in my car, driving back to Columbus, Georgia, and the Lord sat down beside me and said, he can sing that because he realizes that I have a purpose for his life. But in order to get him where I want him, he has to first go through a process. Can I say to you that God's not always going to do things like you think he should, but just trust the process in which God has. Trust the purpose that God has for your life. And when problems come, realize maybe this is God's way of growing me and getting me to where He wants me. I want you to bow your heads with me all over the building. Stand up, if you will. Our pianist is coming. He's going to play a song for us of invitation. Here's what I want to do. Before you find a place at this altar, I want to ask you two questions. Number one, I wonder who'd be honest and say, Brother Brandon, I want you to pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's no one looking around. But I want you to be honest, and if this is true, I want you to lift up your hand. Just let me know. You'd say, Brother Brandon, pray for me because I'm going through some problems. Pray for me because I'm going through some things maybe that nobody even knows about, but they're problems. Maybe there's something on your heart tonight that when you go to bed, it keeps you up. When you try to close your eyes, you have to keep wiping them because of the tears that keep falling down your face because of the things that you're going through tonight. I want to pray for you. I see those hands. Thank you for your honesty. But I want to do this tonight. I would have failed if I come all the way here and didn't ask this question. I wonder if you're here tonight and say, Brother Brandon, I want you to pray for me because I don't know if I'm saved. Maybe your preachers preach Sunday after Sunday and God's been impressing it on your heart. Give your life to Him. But time after time, you keep walking out of those back doors and not doing what God wants you to do. But tonight would be a good night for you to just say, I'm not going to walk out of those doors again as a lost person. I'm not going to get on that van and I'm not going to ride down to the camp not knowing where I would spend an eternity if something tragic was to happen. Wonder if that's you tonight. You just slip your hand up and say, Brother Brandon, don't embarrass me. Don't come to me. But just pray for me because I don't know if I'm saved. Would you slip up your hand? Just let me pray for you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Here's what I want to do. They're going to play. If you raised your hand and said, "Brother Brandon, I got a problem," won't you bring it to the Lord? Because He's the only one that can help you fully. Why don't you find a place on this altar and say, "Lord, I'm tired of dealing with these problems by myself, but I need Your help." And if that was you tonight that said, "Brother Brandon, pray for me, I don't know if I'm saved," why don't you find somebody? Won't you find one of these adults and ask them? Well, we sure would be glad to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I wonder right now how many Christians step out of your seat, find a place at this altar, and you'd pray to the Lord and ask Him for help. Come on, if you will.
Continue to pray in your seats and on the altar. There was some